Welcome, everyone, to the Great Gundam Project. Hello, hi, welcome, hey.
You didn't introduce yourself.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm Em, that's Jackson, we're here to talk about Gundam. I watched Dragon Ball Super, the first arc, it's really good. If you subscribe for $5, I wrote about it, but honestly, it's just really good. It made me feel really emotional to see all my Dragon Ball friends again after like 15 years. I'm going to watch more of that show, but slowly, because it, one, I'm watching the dub and it's not done, obviously. Two, I just kind of want to enjoy it. I think I might watch My Hero Academia.
I've also been thinking about that. As it's blowing up, because I'm like, what if I, you know, it's only two seasons long now, and it's probably going to go on forever and be a new Naruto, so I've only got one chance to get in on the ground floor, and it's rapidly closing.
I thought the manga's, like, winding up. People talk about it like there's an end in sight, so.
Oh, I thought it was going to run forever.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. I've watched the first episode of that, and it was bad, but I shouldn't have chose, right?
Yeah.
People seem to like it.
In the first episode of Dragon Ball Super, Goku drives a tractor.
I do remember that. I remember Dragon Ball Super coming out and me going, wonder what's up with this? And then all the pictures on Twitter were of Goku driving a tractor. And you were like, well, clearly this is great. So the thrust of the letter and also like the narrative of this show has been like a lot of us getting tired of anime and like tropes and stuff. And then you went back to Dragon Ball Super this week and realized that it wasn't you. You weren't like gone forever. You can love again.
I can. I'm sure it's gonna bite me when I'm in like the fifth arc and Goku Black's like menacing them for 20 episodes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No more being on a tractor hanging out.
No. I mean, even like the first arc could have been like three episodes of fighting less than it was.
Ah. Okay. Yes, you're absolutely by the end of this, because like the
yeah, I mean, whatever, like it's fine. Sense. I had a good time. But I know what show I'm watching. I watched original Dragon Ball Z before Kai existed. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. A 4-hour long cut of the Frieza fight.
Yep. 24/7 Frieza fight beats for relaxing and studying ASMR.
Yes. Doing my math test, being like, and this is to go even further beyond.
Yep.
Well, I haven't watched any anime. You know, things are, as I think the, you know, continue to be stressful. I guess last time I recorded, I was just doing all my work. Now I'm doing all my work and moving across the country, so it's all going, oh, very fun on this end. But one day I'll watch anime again. One day I'll have fun.
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I know, right? But that's really it for the other stuff, housekeeping. I guess we'll get into some Gundam, because we've got some two big Gundam episodes today.
We have two episodes of Gundam, that's for sure.
You're gonna just say what I say again, but kind of undercutting me?
Yeah, sandbag you to return. Yep, that's how this is gonna go.
Alright, well, let's go. Episode 19 of Zeta Gundam is called Cinderella 4. What happens?
Before that, like, I'm being ridiculous with Jackson for the record, but I just recorded like 2.5 hours of Novel Not New, which will be out next week. That's why I'm like this. It's not that I'm being mean to Jackson. No one can be mean to Jackson except me, to be fair. But
you can be really mean to me.
I'm not being actually mean to Jackson. Jackson knew what they were getting when I showed up and said Novel Not New is over 2 hours long.
So sometimes we come into this and we've both come off podcasts and we're tired. The real spicy ones are when we're on like different podcast wavelengths. Because I've literally just sat down, turned on Audacity, haven't recorded a podcast in a week.
Yeah, my throat hurts from talking and I'm drinking some tea to try to combat that.
Well, good luck. I guess you can summarize as much as you want.
I wrote summaries. The Aeyug are being ordered out of Hong Kong, but are still receiving last-minute shipments from Liu Yeo and company. Camille asks Amuro about the pull he felt from Four and whether it was a new type thing, but Amuro insists it wasn't and that it's dangerous to even consider that that might be the case. Batorchka shows up to tell Camille off as Amuro leaves, but Mirai shows up and tells Batorchka off, and then tells Camille about Lala and how her death pulled Amuro out of reality and affects him to this day. This is... Okay, so these two episodes, one thing I will say about these two episodes, Batorchka sucks.
Oh, yeah, she's ridiculous.
All, like, she is, like, in a world full of petulant children, she is the most petulant child. And the fact that she showed up acting like, oh, I know what's good for Amuro and I'm going to teach him how to be a functional person again, makes the fact that that's the case even worse.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she just kind of reveals how totally infunctional every single person on this white base is, this fake white base, the Aldilama.
This is not a white base. This is a orange base. Thank you. The real fake white base shows up at the end of the next episode. So.
Yes. But everyone on the base is just ridiculous. And she's like, why won't any of you talk to people? Also, I can't talk to people either.
Only way to like talk to people is to mother them or berate them. It sucks.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else is that much better than her. I don't know. Like, she does have the misfortune of like standing next to Mirai, who is the canonical only person who knows how to talk to anyone in all of Gundam.
Yes, that is true. But even like Camille and Amuro, left to their own devices, do better than Beltorchica does interacting with either of them.
Yes, but only because they're like operating within their own like parameters and not kind of asking any ridiculous questions. Like, they're very comfortable being soldiers to each other now after like they've bonded, but they don't talk about their actual feelings.
Yes. 4 wanders the city composed entirely of backgrounds you would put on a Tumblr about anime aesthetics.
Oh, it's so 80s. This show has never been more 80s in this moment.
Back on the Federation ship, Ben Wooder talks to Four's handler about how they've relied too much on the Psycho Gundam and its cyber new type pilot in the past, and they should just destroy Hong Kong themselves, even if it's just a Federation city. Four's handler is like aghast that they would do that, and Ben Wooder does not care, because Ben Wooder is a tool.
Yes, he is.
Also, his name is Ben Wooder, which is, I think, is hilarious. It's better than Captain Woody ever could be.
Is it?
Yes. Is it though? Ben Wooder.
I hardly knew her.
God. Camille, out and about, runs across Four as she's in an argument with the sergeant sent to pick her up, and she orders the sergeant to leave after he hands her some sort of tracker / communicator. I don't really know what this is. She falls into Camille's arms, and rock music plays as they enjoy the city together.
She doesn't fall into Camille's arms.
She leaves. She literally like glides over with like beautiful pastels and falls into his waiting arms.
The guy leaves, and the very next shot is like white background, her floating through like an endless void into his arms as like smooth sax music plays.
Yep.
It is next level.
Four and Camille hang out on a rooftop and talk about the arbitrary lines that make them enemies, and Four expresses dissatisfaction with the war at all. They smoochin. That's what happens next. They smooch.
She says like, ah, it is a tragedy that we should be enemies. I am only 3 days before retirement.
Four reveals that she was created in a lab as a cybernetic type with no memory of the past, and that's why she's called Four, because she was the fourth subject of the laboratory.
I thought this is my first thought, thinking, oh, this is what it's saying, but because of Gundam names, I couldn't trust that instinct. Gundam names are too ridiculous.
They embrace, but are interrupted by the Federation bombing the city. Camille's anger at the destruction flashes up his new type powers, and Four realizes that Camille isn't just an egg pilot, but is actually the Gundam pilot that she fought 2 episodes ago, and that makes her very sad and upset.
Yes.
Camille rushes off, blah, blah, blah. For her part, so there's someone in the Psycho Gundam, and she doesn't know who it is. She sees someone in the Psycho Gundam and decides that whatever answer she needs must lie with the Federation and with the people who are controlling her. As much as she hates it, she runs off to meet with them under Camille's protests.
Well, she explains about her memory first. She does that on the roof.
I said that before.
But, like, she's like, I have to go back for my memory, and then, like, he's like, come with me, and she's like, no, fuck off, I have to go deal with whatever's going on.
Yes, I said all that, Jackson.
Okay, just making it clear.
The Psycho Gundam has a hard time maneuvering because Ben Wooder is a terrible pilot, and Amuro launches to confront it in the Rick Dias. Amuro's holding his own because of the problems the ship is having, but he can't destroy it in such a populated area. Camille flags down Amuro as he flies around trying to decide what to do. Meanwhile, Four, standing on the edge of a building on a scaffolding, is able to command the Psycho Gundam to land next to her as she's, like, glowing, and then leaps into the cockpit and throws out Ben Woodard because he sucks.
This is the coolest thing that has happened in the show.
This is very cool.
It is insanely cool. I'm glad Evangelion was like, this moment, this is our entire show.
You know, you're not wrong.
Just this woman standing on a scaffolding and, like, bringing the Gundam into the scaffolding, and it breaks and then supports it. like, and then just gets into the Gundam, and Ben Wood is like, all right, I'm going to stand on the scaffolding and presumably die as it collapses. He's fine. But that all I could think as the Gundam, like, backs away from the hole in the scaffolding it made is, he's fucked. He's dead now.
He's not, though.
He's not, but the Gundam walked into the scaffolding to the point where there is no more scaffolding there.
Yes. This next sentence might as well just encapsulate the entirety of this arc for the past, like, 10 episodes. Camille heads back to the ship to get in the Mark II, yelling at Amuro about how this is all his fault because he just won't tell him about new types and the weird bond he has with Four.
Yes.
if Amuro would just admit that Camille is a new type and that sucks and this is how it works, everything would be better in the world.
Yes, it would. Someone say something to someone, for the love of God.
He gets slapped by Stephanie for rushing around and not actually doing his job, and he shrugs it off, getting in the Gundam and grumping that a soldier doesn't just get better because you slap him around. Camille's come a long way.
The line is something like, for me, it was like, oh, you can't send off to man just a man to die by giving him a slap.
Yes, but it's basically like, just because you slap me doesn't mean I'm going to perform any better than if you didn't. Like, I'm doing my job.
Yep.
I think Camille is good. I think I've come around on Camille in a big way.
Yeah, no, Camille's good. I'm pro Camille.
You know, rip Amuro as the most, like, insufferable, doesn't know what the hell he's doing boy.
Mm-hmm.
Four is in tears as she destroys the city, mad this place can't bring her memories back, and ready to tear down every building around her. She's brought up short by the place her and Camille were at just minutes prior, but then in a fit of anger goes to destroy it as the Gundam arrives, and two of them face off, knowing exactly who each other are now that they've spent time together. Camille implores her not to fight, but Four fires indiscriminately into the city. I guess I had not quite glommed on until this moment that neither of them knew that they were the pilots of the mobile suits.
Yeah, I thought that she had realized that a little earlier, but no.
Camille leads her out into the city and into the bay, telling Amuro to stand down so he can actually talk to her. He leaps out of his Gundam and climbs aboard the Psycho Gundam and talks to Four face to face. She reveals the laboratory will give her her memories back if she destroys the Gundam Mark II, but Camille then offers her to take her into space and have the Ayug work to fix her memory. She doesn't buy it, and Camille realizes that the fighting between them is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll keep going. Amuro then says the Psycho Gundam's computer core is essentially forcing her to fight by feeding her, like, battle information or whatever, even if she doesn't want to, and Camille tries in vain to destroy it as the Psycho Gundam flies off and Four is in utter distress.
Yes. And then the episode ends with
Yes, Amuro comes to say goodbye to Mirai, who is leaving to Layla on Earth while this all blows over. Amuro promises he'll get Camille into space and not throw his life away. Mirai offers some advice to Botorchika to not be too pushy with Amuro and to let time sort things out, but Botorchika is apparently as dense as any special boy when it comes to getting advice and just waves it off as, oh, it's women stuff, don't worry about it. Like, Mirai is like, just wait, give him time, he'll come around. And she's like, what do you mean? Mirai's like, I guess you'll understand when you're older. It's like not hard advice to take in.
Yep.
Everyone watches Mirai depart and the AU carrier flies off into the sunset. The end.
Yeah. So I don't know how much to talk. So I like this episode a fair bit. My feelings on it are, like, mostly about these two episodes as, like, things together, because a lot of these stuff ends up repeating next week.
Yes.
The big tragic, like, oh, can we, you know, can we get through to Four? Can Camille and Four, like, overcome these, like, arbitrary lines of battle and find a new way? And then the answer is no, and then the way that all concludes with everyone flying back to the base and, like, Amuro just coming out and shaking his head when Mirai's like, where's Camille? And he's like, no, not today. It's really good. I like how that stuff, like, tonally is done.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they do this again, they do this exactly again. And I don't know. We'll get to it. I'll actually talk about my feelings on, like, this stuff, because we talked a little bit about it before recording, and we'll talk about that when we get to the stuff next week. But that's why I've been, like, kind of quiet at this conclusion.
That's fine.
Do you have any takes, or do you want to get into the next?
We'll save it. If you want to, save it, we'll save it.
Because we got a kind of big discussion to have. So we'll just do it after we get to the next summary. So, episode 20 is called The Heated Escape.
Amuro heads to Camille's room, seemingly to finally talk to the boy, but Camille's asleep. He runs across Little Torchica, who invites him to our own room, but he refuses, and the two argue about how difficult Amuro can be, and he mentions that if Camille does get into space, his powers will expand, and it will probably mean Amuro's powers will expand along with it. Sad feelings for Special Boys ensue as Amuro once again gets on an elevator and gets the hell out of there. On the Federation ship, Ben Woodard tells Four that if she doesn't do well in battle, they'll close the new type laboratory because it's a failed experiment and her memories will be lost forever. Ben Woodard really sucks.
Ben Woodard is not a good guy.
The Ayug are preparing their attack on the New Guinea base when they receive word the Argama is above an orbit a day too early. To make matters worse, Amri mobile suits are attacking and Amuro has to head out to confront them, with Camille waking up to follow after him. Amuro's enemy, the Psycho Gundam, and a half dozen Federation mobile suits.
Yeah, this is a cool battle. This is the cool battle.
Yes. The battle seems to be going bad for the Ayug, but Four is plagued by intense headaches as she tries to use new type powers and is forced to retreat as she loses control of the Psycho Gundam. Back at base, she's berated by her handler, but she gets back into the robot under duress, trying her best to be the soldier everyone tells her she should be. Once she leaves, Ben Woodard announces that since the Psycho Gundam is the last mobile unit they have left, he's going to crash the ship into the Aduma himself in a suicide run and orders everyone off the ship. A half dozen of all his men report to the bridge and offer to stay aboard in this last-ditch effort to take down the Ayug.
Mm-hmm. This moment's weird because Ben Woodard sucks. He sucks a lot. Yes. He sucks. And then they give him this like big, noble like sacrifice moment.
I feel like they do this in the way to like show like even these shitty... In Mobile Suit Gundam, we were dealing with like the grunts on the white base. Like they're people who don't matter. They're just suck. And every time we ran across like a soldier, like an actual officer, they were just the biggest shitbag in the world, right?
Yes.
And this show is about the shitbags, but you still see like the grunts who are like ready to die for the shitbags in this show.
Mm-hmm. Well, specifically, it's like I would need to go back and check how the breakdown is, but I feel like. It is very deliberate in that there's a bunch of people with all their black uniforms, and everyone who stays to die is wearing the old white base uniforms, wearing like the Federation uniforms from.
They're like people who believe in doing their Federation duty, even though this guy sucks. And like, there's a lot of talk about, oh, like Four is from the Titans and he's from the Federation, but really, like at this point, they're basically the same thing, other than the Titans aren't chumps.
Mm-hmm. And then you get these like actual Federation people who are like all given this heroic sacrifice moment. But I feel like the show is definitely too kind to I've literally just blown up a city last week, Ben Woodard, and giving.
Oh,
him
I think the sympathy lies entirely with these poor saps who decide they're going to die with Ben Woodard.
I agree, like in general, at least mine does. But like he is like everyone has to get off the base. You all get the time. I'm not going to make you die with me. Like he gets a noble commander move. Like that's totally that.
I mean, last week but he was like so much of this show is about the idea that these people can be awful people and they're still just people, right?
Sure, but I feel like
from fucking Char Aznable to like half the Zabi family to fucking Jared's like shitty bullshit, right? Like these are just people and they make people choices.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I don't know. He literally turned a population center to flames last week, and now he's like caring for his men. And
yes, that's how people are.
I know it is, but I feel like you are meant to like sympathize with him more.
I don't think so. I think the show just shows you this and lets you like sit on it. Like, yeah, it's weird that he blew up this city and cares for his men, but that's just the way people are weird, right?
Yeah, no, like I get it, but I don't know. I just feel like this shows like. The way it sits its morality towards like the plight of soldiers, and then like kind of that it would extend that morality to soldiers who literally burned that sympathy to soldiers who burned a city to the ground. I get the argument that it's just kind of letting you sit with that. Like it is on some level, but
I mean, if you want to say like all soldiers are bad, I guess I'm with you, but the show we're dealing with is not a, like, you have to accept that the show doesn't believe that.
It doesn't, but not all soldiers literally turn a city to flames.
Hashtag not our soldiers.
Well, not all Gundam characters, even if all the Gundam characters are soldiers, would burn Hong Kong to the ground for no reason. I don't even know why. Like,
I don't think that's necessarily true. Like, look at the damage that like the Ayug do regularly. Like, it's considered like justifiable because they're terrorists fighting against fascism, but they still do things like this.
I don't know. They're trying to get everyone away. Like, they have talked about how the Ayug and how, like, Quattro and everyone don't want to damage Earth because it is our home and they want to, like, return.
Yes, and specifically, attacking Hong Kong was a choice Ben Woodard made and everyone reacted with kind of dismay, but they did it anyway because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that attack was, like, portrayed in Gundam as being kind of abnormal and, like, really, really bad.
Yeah, sure. But, like, Quattro thought it was really bad to go attack the Jabro, and he still did it. Like, heroes follow orders as well as the bad guys.
I get it. I don't know. It sat bad with me that Ben Wooder gets this moment after that.
I don't think it's a moment is my thing.
That's fair. Yeah, I did. Anyway.
Bill Torchica asks Camille to leave Amra behind and drive him away, as she's worried that if he stays near Camille, he'll overextend himself in battle and end up dead. Camille refuses, mostly because he doesn't think Amra would listen to him, and also he doesn't really understand her concern for one person in the situation where everyone is struggling to do their best and could die any day. That said, when they launch, Camille offers to go out first over Amro, and he confronts the Psycho Gundam alone once again. Camille being the most functional person in this trio is, like, the most damning thing you could say about everyone in this show.
Yes, I like Beltogica here, though, because she's like, Amro's not a main character anymore. He could die.
Yes, but Camille's like, we're all, like, everyone but me is not a main character. He's not special.
Only I am special now.
No. And he doesn't even want to be. They just made him special. He was ready to go die off on some other ship or whatever.
Yep.
There were many times he would have handed the reins over to someone else if they would have taken them and gone off to die.
No, he must bear the plight of the special boy.
Yeah. Amra realizes Wooder's ship is on a suicide run and goes to stop it, leaving Camille to confront Four, and the two of them exit their cockpits to stare each other down once again. Camille talks about how he lost his parents to try to relate to Four and her orphan status, and tells her about his story and how he ended up the Gundam pilot. He even complains about his name once again for old time's sake. But he does tell her about how his broken home and insecurities drove him to try to be the best man he could be, which is why he learned enough to be the natural choice to be the mobile suit pilot. I feel like this finally answers all the concerns I had in, like, episode 4, and fuck you taking this long to get to them.
Yes. It took forever. This is episode 20.
Yeah.
We're finally resolving. Why is this enough to push Camille to leave, to go to war?
Yeah. Yes. I feel like people are like, oh, this show is so deep, it does all this subtext that comes up way later. I feel like it's maybe just badly paced sometimes.
Yes, I would agree. We said this episode 1, we're saying it today, it remains badly paced. It's a bit weird. Hilarious to me that Camille is like, you don't have any memory of your past and you hate your name, but I hate my name too, because people call me a girl. like, obviously he's also talking about his dead parents and stuff. It's not like there's nothing there, but the way he plays it is hilarious.
Yes. Four listens to all of this, but can't reach out in the same way, and so she pulls out a gun and drives Camille out of her cockpit by firing a warning shot and saying she'll kill him next time he tries to talk to her like this. The two part enemies once again, but Four, in a fit of emotion, crashes the Psycho Gundam into the side of Wooder's ship, and when aboard, drops a booster from the ship before being shot in the back by Ben Wooder for betraying them in changing the direction of the plane, preventing it from crashing into the Ayuk ship.
Yes.
Camille and Amro hear her earnest wish as a new type through space to take the booster that she has extended off the ship and use it to reach space and rendezvous with the Argama. The Gundam connects itself to the booster, though Amro sees while atop the rocket that Four is limping getting back to the Psycho Gundam, and clearly she is injured. As the Federation fires on Camille, Amro desperately tries to stop them, and in doing so, starts explosions on the Federation ship. Camille launches in the rocket, uncertain as to Four's fate as aboard the Psycho Gundam as the Federation ship explodes in the air. Camille, astride a booster rocket, laments Four's apparent sacrifice as he rides it all the way up into space to rendezvous with the Argama. Amro is recovering aboard the Karaba ship. In space, Camille meets back up with his friends and immediately asks us her Fa and is told that she's on Granada with Quattro and Katz. He might be in space, but there are still reunions left to come. The end.
We didn't have time to fit all of that into one episode. And it's like a panning shot of Bright and a bunch of smiling people we've never seen before.
Yes.
It's hilarious. It's great.
Yeah. I appreciate the argument coming back, the music coming back, and like, oh, in space, shit's just been, like, being handled, unlike the clown shoes on Earth.
Yep. I mean, that checks out thematically.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And yeah, that's episode 20. So, the thing with this episode, because you came in and you're like, oh, Gundam's great this week, and I was like, I didn't like it at all. And my thing was that they do the same thing twice. They bring Camille and Four together and have them, like, tragically see, oh, can we bridge this arbitrary gap and find some kind of new way outside of just being enemies for, like, no reason other than it is decided that we are enemies through the lines that have been drawn on in war. And both times it is a resounding no. And then, so like the first time, it's a no, and I accepted it. It was fine. That moment worked really well. She had to go get her memory back. He was completely broken up about it. The way the music played as they got back to the Algae Lamar, it was great. I liked all that tonally. And then doing it again, and then the actual resolution being, oh wait, she doesn't hate him, but instead of trying to find some kind of solution, she's gonna get shot in the back, get called a bitch, die off screen, because apparently she's not dead, but I totally just of course she dies in her sacrifice.
No, she's clearly not dead.
Well, I know that now, but she totally sacrificed herself and gets shot in the back, and like the structure of this story in every other Gundam episode would have her die, so I bought it.
To be fair, I think the machination here is for Camille to believe that she is dead, right?
Yes, but like the audience is also meant to believe she is dead.
Yeah, but the audience has watched a goddamn show before, and we don't see her body, and last time's preview of events didn't say, and Four dies, which is how Gundam always is when a character dies.
Well, I don't watch the previews. I'm just, reacting to the structure of the episode being, oh, can we figure out a way for these two people to find a new way? And the answer is no, but we can figure out a way to have the girl pointlessly sacrifice herself rather than actually, find a solution.
But specifically, we don't see the Psycho Gundam blow up. We see the big ship explode around the Psycho Gundam, which is the opposite of how every character in Gundam has died, which is violently and obviously.
But you're talking logistics of the show, and I'm thinking more just the thematic implications of this as an episode, and I just found it really shitty. I just didn't like it, because obviously on some level this is just me going, oh, I can't believe we're watching Gundam, because yes, they're going to have to fight each other, it's always going to be tragic, and I'm always going to be like, well, why couldn't they just talk to each other, why couldn't they just do that, because that's the complaint that I always have. But they get so close. They these two characters have actually bonded. You've seen them talk. They don't want to fight each other. They basically want the same things. They could offer to help each other. There are so many ways for them to get through this. And both steps, they walk it back. And instead of engaging with what that would look like, take it to the tragic step of, oh, we have to fight and kill each other. And then she's going to get shot and the sad music will play. And it just felt like, oh, I guess, I just felt very unsatisfying.
So my thing is, I think the question, more of the question to me is not that this is what happened, because yeah, you're right, but it's the idea new types are clearly automatically drawn to each other. And yes. Every time that happens, this is very much meant to be echoes of Amuro and Four, Four and Lala. Yes.
Yes.
And every time new types are drawn to each other, that drawing to each other ends in tragedy where they are cast against each other, or Four is oh, the lines between us that make us enemies are arbitrary, but they believe that. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Is it innate in the nature of new types to clash? The way that Amuro and Camille naturally just clash with each other. There's something in new types that seems to repel them against each other, even if they're drawn together.
Maybe that's where the show is going, but I don't agree.
I'm not saying this is the thing the show is going to say. This is my read on okay. The themes of this situation. And you have these characters who seemingly are inevitably drawn to each other because they're special people in a sea of old types, but also they're all built out of conflict. And so they know no other way. None of them have the imagination for peace or whatever Bill Torchka said. And so they know no other thing other than conflict. And in Force Case, literally knows nothing other than being raised to be a weapon. Also they are tools built by old types to be pointed at other sides and then used as giant guns, right?
Yeah.
So in what universe can these characters even conceive a world in which even if they didn't have these lines drawn, they could be together and not eventually try to kill each other? Old types, new types are doomed to tragedy by the nature of what they are. I think is what this show is about, more than it is oh, she's on one side, he's on the other, they're star-crossed lovers. No, even if they didn't have that, they would fucking ruin it somehow, because it's in the nature of what they are.
Well, then that sucks, is my, I think that's a bad, I don't like that as a thesis, I guess. they talk, they form a relationship, they both want similar things, they both find this connection with each other, and we understand that as people, and that connection is ultimately not strong enough to, like, overpower, whether it be, like, the tragic lines of war or the, like, doomed fates of new types. That connection doesn't win, and I don't buy that, because
we're, like, I mean, we are watching a cynical show, is my take on this.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is that I don't know, I came away from the finale of Gundam expecting something very, because, like, that scene of Amuro, like, deciding that his, like, final gasp of his new type powers in the war would not be to, like, chase down Char or something, but would be to, like, reunite with his friend and save everyone. It's like, that's a, like, an incredible triumph, and I expected more of that going forward. But if we're going to get 49 episodes of the cynical show and then every, you know, series ends with that, I don't know where this is going, but it's something I have that, like, doesn't sit with me thematically, I guess. Like, yes,
I mean, this might, that might just cynical. Be this show. Like, people talk about this show like it's special and different, right? And that's probably because this show has this stuff in it and this tone, and that is the, like, case opposed to other Gundam, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we'll find out one way or another, right? One way or the other.
And knowing that her story isn't over definitely makes me, like, kinder to this. Like, if this is just...
But there's no universe in which Four survives this show. Are you kidding me?
Well, obviously. But she literally goes from... having a hand extended to her to, like, find some other way, and then 2 minutes later, Ben Woody literally calls her a bitch and shoots her in the back, and she falls down.
Yeah, but the other way was going with Camille and being like, oh, I know my soldiers would be able to figure out your problem and fix it. Like, he's not telling her a thing that is possible. Like, he is telling her what he thinks she wants to hear to get her on his side.
Oh, like, I get your arguments, but they just make me like it less. Because I'm like, well, Camille, I'm reading Camille as being earnest. Like, he believes this.
Camille believes it, but Camille's an idiot.
Yeah, and, like, yes, if you're telling me they're both idiots and doomed just because they're, like, children given the powers of fucking, like, war machines, like, yes, of course, that is true.
Like, Camille's been told that he might be a new type, but Amuro insists that he is not, even though he clearly is.
Clearly is.
And doesn't understand what any of that means because no one sat him down and explained how any of that works. Even if they know, they might not even know. Like, how much Amuro knows about new types is really up in the air, considering he's been afraid to come into space for 7 years because he's afraid his ghost girlfriend's gonna get him.
Yeah, I need to... We'll see. Like, I'm very interested in what I think about the rest of the show as this stuff becomes clear, because, like, it's changing. It is not necessarily following on with my reads on, like, what new types are and what that means from the end of 79. Like, it's changed in the mind of the show in the 6 years since the show aired.
Yeah, it's definitely meant to be, like, a reassessment of the state of the world more than it is, like, a sequel to Gundam.
Just because my idea of new types, I didn't think they were that special.
I mean, that's like Quattro's eventual, or like Char's eventual realization, I feel like, is that new types aren't that special. But that doesn't mean that in, like, they might not be able to change the universe, but that doesn't mean they're not able to wreck their own lives because they're special, right? It's like child prodigies, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, this person's a genius, they're gonna accomplish great things, and what happens to every single one of them is their lives are destroyed.
Yeah, but, like, I walked away from 79 literally thinking, like, everyone on the white base is some level of new type. New types is just this kind of, like, a background thing that doesn't actually matter, and it matters so much here. This show is all about new types and the, like, clashes of new types and the tragedy of being a new type. Like, it is so much more of the things that I thought 79 was trying to be, like, oh no, you, like, this is just something we've projected onto this situation and it doesn't actually care about us. It's, like, more ambivalent, and that was probably just me reading into that finale in a way that they've completely reframed here. Like, obviously this show doesn't, it's not taking, oh, this is what the finale suggested and we're going with that. It's, like, making its own statement. That's fine. But I expected something different, and I'm interested in where this shakes out, because it's not, like, I'm going up and down with how much I like the show right now, because it's not like these episodes are bad in a, like, they're just bad to watch way. Like, it's saying something and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that, whereas there definitely been episodes earlier where it just kind of, like, you know, I didn't know what it was saying because it was people I've never heard of doing battles I've never heard of because it hasn't given me the monologue yet to explain who they are, which was, like, the early episodes.
Yeah, whereas I made my peace with this show is probably just about a thing I don't agree with, like, 6 episodes ago.
Yes, I'm having that now. And also I just found it exhausting to have the same, I don't think you get to do the you can come to my side 2 episodes in a row.
Well, I think the context is different because at first she's like, oh, these arbitrary battle lines. And then she realizes it's not about that. Like, they are just doomed to be this. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe the argument going forward is she believes that and Camille does not. Like, I think it is clear to understand why she would believe that she is doomed to be in conflict with Camille, even if there was no war going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. We'll see.
Like, some people are just fucking Kylo Ren, right? Like, you can't reach them. They're just lost.
Like, that's true, but I hate it. I want to reach everyone.
Well, you're definitely watching the wrong show for that.
Yeah, I know. Everyone should just be friends.
Oh, we'll get to that show, maybe. Who knows? Maybe there's a friend Gundam. I mean, SD Gundam exists, right?
Ah, that'd be loaded friend. What are you talking about? Of course there's a friend Gundam. Yeah, so we'll see. Like, I'm excited to see where this goes. And whether I agree with it or not, I want to get to the end of the show so I can understand what it's actually saying as a statement.
Well, we are two-fifths the way done.
I know. It is now at the point where I'm, like, thinking along those terms and not thinking along the terms of who is everyone? What's going on? I don't know. So I'm glad I'm actually watching the show now.
Yes.
But yes, that is basically that. I guess, do we have anything else? Is that mostly it?
Yeah, that's mostly it. Camille's back in space. I'm excited for space hijinks.
Amuro is not in space.
Amuro's not in space. Yeah. I still expect him to come to space. I don't know. I can't imagine Amuro is not like a going concern in this show going forward. So
he can take like 10 episodes off knowing this show. Yeah. But he'll be around for the finale. It's just whether I don't know whether the show's gonna stick around on Earth for a bit as well as in space. I guess Four's still on Earth and she's apparently alive. So
my assumption is for a while we're going to be back in space, touching base with all the people we left behind.
That was my assumption as well. And then some people from Earth will show up and be like, hey, you don't know what's popped off on Earth since you've gone.
Yes.
Just like we're about to get, you don't know what popped off in space since you've gone.
Yeah. I'm excited. I hope it's good. Granada.
Yep. It'll be good. That'd be good. Yep. Come see Quattro again at some point.
Let's hope Fa got, like, interesting in the intervening 10 episodes or whatever.
The reason that you know that Fa is not interesting is that in my head, I'm like, there's no universe in which she dies. So,
you know, you're right. I mean, like, it's weird because, like, I think Fa mostly sucks, but I really liked the incidental. Like, I liked Frau Bo. I liked Mirai. They're not characters who did anything.
Nope. But Frau Bo, like, not doing anything was way more purposeful than Fa. Yes. Because the show's too busy for Fa.
I mean, I don't know. If we just have space, like, we've got 30 episodes left. If they just, like, cool their heels for a little bit and just have time and space, maybe it'll be fine.
Ron Howard voice.
I don't know. Like, what if we get the situation where, like, Quattro and Fa are, like, watching cats as he runs around Granada and just have, like, settled into, like, we're not really on call right now. We're, like, taking a break. We're just, like, a weird dysfunctional family. I want that show.
I mean, you'll get it for, like, 6 minutes and then an attack will happen. There's not going to be an episode without a...
Well, yeah, it's Gundam. There's always a fight. Like, there was a fight last show, too, but we like that show a whole lot.
Oh, sure. But I'm saying that, like, the Hangout show... I assume as we get closer to the modern day, there will be episodes without a big battle, and that is not the case now.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
no,
just
that,
the way anime
that'll never be changed. That'll be never be the case right now. I understand that.
It's still the 80s. My guess is by late 90s we'll start getting the pacing where it doesn't have to be a battle every episode, and they can have just some story episodes.
When do we first get to the show where there's an episode where they all go to a beach?
Oh. The problem is the first time that happens, that will feel like a relief. But
I mean,
know
I guess I guess Mobile Suit Gundam already had that episode, and then they cut it out of every other airing of the Gundam. Like, the lost episode of Gundam is the one where they all go to a beach.
Oh, they're all Gundam pilots, but then one episode's like, oh no, it's my rich uncle's beach that we happen to own, and we're gonna have hijinks. You know it's gonna happen one day. We're just gonna get anime trope Gundam.
Yep.
We're done. We're done. Thank you very much for watching, listening. Shit.
I was going to say that we would, when do we find the anime where, like, the hero walks in on his girlfriend, like, in, like, the sauna, but we already had that in the first Gundam show.
That was literally episode 6.
Yeah. And it was good, so I don't know.
It was good, yeah. And then he fucking died.
No.
What?
What? Who died?
Oh. You meant the bit with Amuro and Frau Bo, not Shara and Gama in the shower.
Oh, yes, I didn't. Look, I never think about Gama. You know this.
Oh, I remember getting to Gama and thinking, oh, this guy's like a meme. He's going to matter. No, fucking destroyed. No. Massive painting on the wall. Right, we're done. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next week with more anime.
Anime!
That's the one.
Amuro.
季節越えて